side by side at the microphone. From the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, be there you should be, and if you're not, then get here. We're at the Tobey Beach Car Show, Town of Oyster Bay, Motormouth Radio, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, wingman in at the con, Joe D.
Hey.
We got Chris Scholes on the board, and we have another special guest that just flew into our orbit, Mr. Steve Wepp.
How you doing? How you doing,
Steve?
How you doing,
good, it's good. A pleasure to get you on. I know you've called us, which is good.
Oh yeah.
And now we finally. I said I wanted to get you on the show live. I didn't know I'd be doing it at a car show, but what the heck? I'll take it any way I can get it.
Wow, it's a great day here. I tell you,
it is. And there's so many things we can talk to you about, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been in the car community for so long.
Yeah.
As a hobbyist, as a professional, as a teacher, you do it all.
Thank you. Yeah, I try.
And the thing that gets us, that's near and dear to our heart, is we know, like us, you can see a finished car, like any of these things, and appreciate the beauty and work that went into it.
Absolutely.
Or you could see the way we rigged up our stand for our phone and say, hey, that's pretty cool, too.
A roll of duct tape. Out of my minivan.
A roll of duct tape and some clamps. But, you know, because that's the thing in the hobby, right? You have to kind of know it all.
You got to be a great improviser. That number one, if you're in this hobby, just like you improvise your microphone and everything like that, you got to think on the fly.
Yeah.
And you got to put things together.
Right.
You know, so right now, I had a great opportunity to do some research, okay? So I'm looking at that Boss Mustang over
all
there.
All right, beautiful, yeah. Okay, right, because you're...
Hello. I said, that's what we're doing now. We're restoring a 69 Mustang,
right.
You know?
That's right.
Putting torque boxes in it and a full cowl and things. So what a great opportunity to see a perfect original Mustang. So what I'm looking at is the things that most hobbyists don't look at. I'm looking at the door gaps.
Right.
Okay, I'm looking at the hood gaps, okay, and so I'm taking pictures, and now this guy thinks maybe this guy's a little cuckoo. Yeah, you know what I mean? But this is all important information that you can only get, like, say, from a car show today.
Now,
you know,
so. We talked about that yesterday when I saw Steve at the shop, and he walked me through the Mustang. We were talking about just that, door and fender gaps, and how they weren't really paid attention to back in the 60s and 70s, because those cars were made just to be sold and go out of the street.
Right, yeah,
sure. And you see someone like...
To begin with.
You see someone like Chip Foose, and they roll a ball bearing down the hood, and it, you know, it doesn't get sucked in. You say, "Wow!" So that's great. Yeah, yeah. It's a great reference, like I said, reference material.
Yeah, it's a great car show is a great opportunity to learn something.
The thing is, on Mike's car, you're into pieces of that car that no one but the original builders and designers saw. You're so deep.
1969.
I'm right into the spine of the car.
You're in the ugly parts.
Yeah. You know, so, and that's everything that keeps the car, you know, running straight down the road, you know. So
right.
You'd be surprised how many of these relics are just rotted and are really unsafe.
Yeah.
You know, really unsafe. But what's great today is there's a lot of good structural parts being replicated, and you could buy them and have them welded in and return your car into a safe running vehicle.
So let me, and you're right, because it's so unsafe to take a car on with body rot or chassis rot, because you know, you got your life laying on that thing. But from a restoration standpoint, when you're into those hard parts, the torque boxes and the underframes, there's usually no, you don't get a direction sheet. So how do you, what's your methodology of putting that all back together? Because the stuff you cut out is half or more gone. So you don't always have a good one to look at to see how to put it back. So how do you determine where to lay something.
You want to go to the original joints, okay? Everywhere the manufacturer originally jointed that car.
Uh-huh.
That's where you want to splice in your new part, okay, into the original joints. Very important, okay, because they're all measured out, all right? If you look under a car, on the framework of the car, you'll see a series of round holes here and there.
Okay.
Those are fixture holes. So basically, the bare parts come down the assembly line, they lay on those fixture holes, and that's an exact measurement.
Right.
Okay. Then it's welded together. Okay. So we want to use those exact fixture holes, and we want to put our repair parts right in that exact area.
Okay.
Okay. And that's where we start from.
Okay, you know, makes sense.
The zero point.
All right.
Then we work from there.
Yeah.
So somewhere on that rusted junk box, there got to be one good 0 point.
Wow.
And if there isn't, then I would say, pass and go on another project.
Right.
You know, but as long as you got one good 0 point, you can start from there and build the car.
I've said it before. That Mustang and the Chevelle that's at the shop, the Project Chevelle.
Oh, yes.
Those are cars that most guys in the hobby, and even a lot of shops, would have passed on and said, no, get me another car, because there was just so much hard metal work to be done. And you guys did that.
Yeah.
It's a testament. I mean, they talk about, some of the shops get the credit, the top line shops get all the glory, but you guys could be right up there with any of the guys on TV, any of the main shops in the country, if that was the choosing, to do so. But a lot of talent over there with you guys, I tell you.
But what we're doing is kind of nuts, okay? Because we're putting so much labor into a car and parts and labor, and that's going to exceed the value of that car.
I was going to ask you, what do you think about over-restoring a car? Yeah,
that just exceeds the value of the car.
Right.
I'm looking around. There's a lot of good deals out there. Okay, buy somebody else's dream. You know what I mean? Buy somebody else's dream. Sometimes you'll get the car half completed and all the hard work is done, and then they just lose interest. Okay, that's the car to buy and finish. Don't buy the complete rusted out bucket.
Right.
And think that you're going to scout around for parts. And
it's great to go to a body shop or something.
Right.
Yeah, but
Mark Warman told us.
Yeah.
We had that clip on the Mother's Day show with Mark Warman when I asked him about restorations.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, even when I did my own car sitting behind us over here, which isn't finished, but it's drivable, many days, my wife will tell you, I came in and she said, what's the matter? I was like, you know what? I went like 3 steps forward but 4 steps back because parts didn't fit that was supposed to fit, or something didn't line up, or just something really roadblocked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, but you know what? I closed the door. I came in the house. I'll be back out there tomorrow.
Right.
And I explained to her, this is when guys, you'll have that or a series of those problems, and guys lose interest. They get disinterested.
Absolutely.
And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to dog this thing. I'm not going to let it get me. I'm going to get it, even if I got to totally undo what I did and go back.
Yeah.
You just got to
hang in there.
And I think that's why a lot of projects get scrapped, because people just get, you felt beat down a little bit. Maybe you're over your skill set, over your level of expertise, aftermarket
the money
parts
runs out.
Well,
some type of logistics. Maybe you lose your garage.
Sure.
And you buy.
Somebody did happen that with the Firebird that they were working on.
Or you buy
garage space.
That's a big one. But you buy new parts, and we know.
Never ever work,
right? That just happened yesterday. We were talking about Mike's GTL. We put the HEI distributor in. I figured a plug-and-play thing done. No, the car didn't start. It had no spark in the plugs. So I told Mike, I said, that was the factor I was talking about, where it could take an hour or it could be a oh-crap moment where, like, luckily you don't need that to get home.
Right.
Because now we got to go and do some diagnostics.
Exactly.
It was a new part. Never, ever work.
Sure.
You always got to have the steady ride that you could always just jump in and go.
Luckily, he's got his choice. He's got more than he can.
I was going to say, everybody needs an extra hoopty, bro.
He'd always go down to the vans or the tow truck or the flatbed. It's like he's got so many levels of what you can drive,
Well, there's so many ways to enjoy the hobby. It doesn't have to be just restoring cars. A lot of people collect literature and other things like automobilia and Petroliana is big, the gas cans and everything that goes with automobiles. So there's a lot of great ways of enjoying the hobby. You don't have to be the guy or the girl that is actually, doing all the hard work on it.
Right.
So So that proves it today.
Keeps you off the streets.
What do you think now, Steve, with the teaching that you've done and you get involved in with the you know, with the younger folk? Are they is there hope that's coming up behind us, or is it as bad as some people make it out to be?
Yes. No. There's great opportunities now, especially in the trades themselves. A lot of times, young people coming out of high school, college may not be their career path. You know, college may not be their career path. So they're going to want to, you know, go into the trades.
Okay.
And let's face it, the trades have to be done here. Okay, in the United States, it can't be outsourced. You know, so you know, if you're a mechanic or a body technician or a carpenter or whatever it may be, it has to be done here. It can't be outsourced. So the trades are a great opportunity. Okay, so I'm involved with BOCES, a trade school, and I teach the auto collision course there. And it's not. The trades aren't as popular as the automotive trades. Let's face it, we grew up in the car culture. In the 60s, everything revolved around the automobile.
Yep.
TV shows, okay?
Yeah.
The cars were the stars, the Batmobile and things like that.
That's right.
Drive-in movies and drive-in hamburger places and things like that.
Yeah, Wetsons.
Yeah, so we grew up in that car culture. Now, this new generation is more or less into the computer culture, okay? That's their thing, okay? But there's still, there's still somewhat of that going on. It may change a little bit. They might be into, you know, not really the hot rodding that we've known, okay, but they might be into, more exotic cars and things like that, whatever they like. But, trades are coming up. It's still young people coming into the trades. Like I say, it's a great opportunity if college isn't your career path. We have a little joke in our circles there, and they say, what's the difference between a coffee barista with a master's degree and a coffee barista without?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the answer is a $250,000 student loan.
Student debt.
So a lot of people, they'll go and they'll get their master's degree and they wind up pouring coffee.
Steve, that's something that we've talked about a lot on the show, and of course in personal conversations, how with us, when we came up, guys like us never wanted for a job. I mean, and I stayed pretty steady, but I had friends who would quit jobs like at the drop. The boss looked at them wrong. I'm out of here. And then, like, you go from a gas station here to a gas station there, pumping gas, working as a mechanic, or maybe working in a deli. There was always jobs, because if you could use your hands, you always had a gain for employment. Today, that's changed.
Yes.
That's changed a lot.
Yes. The way the employment structure is set today, you got to be serious. You got to be serious of what you do.
Yes.
If you're going to keep a job.
And like you said, student debt is ridiculous.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And there's some people, you're going to need somebody to get your car fixed. You're going to need somebody
always
to fix your pipes.
Always.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, plumbers, right. You make good living being a plumber.
Yeah.
If I can add something.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that like go to school for like truck mechanics, like diesel trucks and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I like working with my hands. Like, I'm a cook. I've been a cook for the past 3 years, and of everybody of my friends, nobody's as committed to it as me. Mm. And every job that I've had, I just keep gaining more and more experience, and then it helps me out in the future. Sure, it's not what I want to do, but it's really good money for what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, definitely.
A cook who could play with drop G, huh? With a dropped drop G string and cook. Wow. Excellent.
Well, the one thing about the trades, okay, basically you're compensated for your skill set.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a plus. That's a plus. There's no tier system, okay? There's no seniority system. So basically you can demand a high salary when you just walk into the door if your skill set is at that level. You know what I mean? And you take that anywhere you want to go. So say, hey, I love New York, but, you know, it's time to move to California. Well, that's why they put wheels on toolboxes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can boom. You can move.
Except for yours.
Right, yes. Yeah, my beast.
Oh, just to interject, Steve has the most interesting toolbox in the world. But I was looking at his collection yesterday, and what he has is like 100 tool bags.
Yeah.
Because, and Steve will tell you why in a minute, but But he showed me one of his most interesting tool bags, Joe, which you'll get a kick out of. And he held it up with a bunch of wrenches in it. Steve, tell Joe what you showed me.
Basically, we're body men. I'm not supposed to say body men. It's politically not correct anymore. But I'm old school, and I'm consider myself a body man. Mechanics usually work in one bay, and they'll have their toolbox in front of the bay, and they'll be under the hood, and they'll turn to the back, and they'll get a wrench.
Exactly.
Not
a body guy.
The body guys are all over the place. Okay, so the rollaway box thing could be a little bit of a detriment. So basically, I have all my body tools in bags. So if I need a body hammer, okay, I take the whole bag of body hammers over to the car.
Right.
If I need a wrench, I take the whole bag of wrenches over
to
the car.
Bag of hammers.
Okay. So what I found out is that the used airbag, okay, once they deploy, it's ballistic nylon. It's the strongest it's the strongest woven cloth that you can get.
Yeah.
Perfect for keeping wrenches
like
in.
Like spider silk.
Yeah. So I open that thing up and I lay all my wrenches out. When I'm done, I fold it all up. Okay. So mine has a special trademark.
Yes.
Okay.
Steve held it up to me and says, look at that. And I saw a red mark. And the first thing I thought of was, it's a blood stain. But it wasn't.
No. It was actually a perfect set of lips for the driver, who was a female, I imagine, had lipsticks on.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And when it deployed, it was a perfect stencil. Perfect stencil of her.
Unbelievable.
Lips. It was great. So I had to keep that. That was a keeper.
That's a keeper. You can't. That is unbelievable.
So,
but it's so true. Steve has, I've seen it in the shop, metrics and Americans. Just so this way you can, Joe, when you work mobile, you don't use as many, tools like
right,
that, but you do have to go from place to place.
Yeah.
And
That's why I got the toolbox, because
right.
You can only put so much. So you got to pick your tools wisely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to have that box that has every stinking wrench, every stinking pry bar, every stinking adapter. But
right.
You know what? 80% of the time, there's a certain amount of tools that fit in a much smaller space.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
So we are talking tools and tech here today on Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Joe D. We have Chris Scholes on the board talking with Steve Webb. And down at Tobey Beach, the Town of Oyster Bay Car Show, we're having a good time. The
weather's still rocking along.
In and out a little, but there's still plenty of people down here. And if you haven't gotten out to a car show or cruise night, this is a good one to go to.
It's a good starter.
Or our buddies over at Fort Towns Fireman Training Center in Merrick at the Long Island Old Spring Dust-Off.
Yep.
Is another good one. And I promised the guys I would mention this too. LICOA, the Long Island Corvette Owners Association, will be at the Vanderbilt Museum, which is beautiful, up in Centerport.
Nice venue.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful venue. That's going to be on, what is their date? July 7th of this year, 9 a.m. to 4:30. Registration day of event is $20. And, chair is Tom D. That's my buddy Tom. You give him a call at 516-993-7418. And also, there's the All Car and Truck Show, also by LICOA. It's LICOA and Teachers Federal Credit Union. They've combined on this one. Donations are to fight ALS. That's July 21st. And that'll be at the TFCU facility on Motor Parkway in Hopog. And let's see. They should. LICOA, I guess if you just Google LICOA, you'll find them. Although they should have a easy to spot. Yes, LICOA.org.
Wow.
Or you can check them out on Facebook. And you can, if you're
That's
into
great.
Corvettes like we see here, all these gorgeous Corvettes.
A lot of vets here, yep.
Oh, boy.
If I could put a plug in for my Old Westbury show that's coming up the first Sunday in June.
Right.
Okay, the GNYR will host the
That's Old the Greater Westbury, New York region.
The Greater New York region of the Antique Automobile Club of America. That's us, the GNYR.
Right.
And we have a great show at Old Westbury Gardens, another great venue.
Yeah.
You can spend the whole day there, bring the family.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, a lot of great cars.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, there's something for everyone. That's more of a classic. That's always been like the classic, more antique
type cars.
Like you want to wear a collared shirt that doesn't have stains on it, right? Like you don't want to look like we usually do. You want to kind of class it up a little bit, if you will.
Yeah.
But, Andy, This is weird, Joe. When you can just see people, it's like being, you know, like in a line. Yeah. It's kind of different than what we're used to. We used to be in sequestered
usually,
in the studio.
They usually keep us in that little box in the basement. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, they'll let us have some air or slip us a little water or something like that.
Yeah. Right, right.
But nowadays, we're all jammed up. We're all out in the world here.
Right.
So
it's a good change of pace.
It is. It is nice. You know, I like this. You know, I tell you, we've been doing Motormouth Radio's been on WHPC for 15. Into the 16th year now,
wow.
And we never had the ability to do live remotes. I used to go to the Belmore Cruise Night with a cassette player and a microphone, and I'd interview people and bring it back, and we would take it off. Chris would take it off the cassette, and we would play it the next week. The interview.
Right.
So we were a week out. Now the fact that we can do this, Sean Novat has really made some good improvements at the station. He's gotten us some money and equipment like we see here.
Yeah, that this board thingy here.
That's let us come out and do these remotes. And I tell you something, I'll warn you right now. If we next time we do it, I'm going to say I want Chris as our board op. We're going to wrangle you right in with us.
So I appreciate that.
Kudos to him, man. Yeah, definitely. You made our life a lot easier today.
Absolutely.
I try to do best I can.
And you do. You fit in very well. Yeah. You know?
We have a great crew. You know, we've got Jason, we got
we got Steve
Rita,
K out there,
Steve
we got
K.
Rita.
We got a lot of people out here helping us out. It's not a two man show.
And if you think of it,
by no means.
If you think of the biggest benefit, the biggest change was Kim not doing Thunder Road today because she lost 2 hours today,
Oh, my God.
Which is something that, we're going to hear it from her fans because they...
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised we haven't gotten any of them calls.
We had a hate call that we played on our Mother's Day show
I heard
last week, and it was one of her callers like, what are you guys
Kim,
doing
get
on
out. Get off the radio.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
I just do the Nassau mix, so I don't get really much calls.
Right, right, right. Yeah, people just enjoying it,
But so is this part of their curriculum, WHPC? Is this your curriculum, or is this something that they do? You get credits?
I just do this for fun.
Oh, really?
This is something I do for fun that I chose to do.
Oh.
And I love
like us.
I love every second of it.
And you don't get any college credit for this? I think you should...
No. I gain experience in the field. I want to do studio recording technology.
There you go.
That's what my future wants to look at, or something with the radio.
That's the best way to get started is volunteer. Okay?
Yep.
So, basically, a lot of people, they don't know how to get their foot in the door. Okay? So, nothing gets you foot in the door faster than some free labor.
Right.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
So,
you're right.
If you're willing to volunteer, guess what? Now you're making contacts with people. And then you'd be surprised where it will take you. So
and that's
volunteer
the thing.
And help out wherever you can.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised.
I tell this to my own kids. Chris, I'll tell you, we guys of our age, one of the things we learned a long time ago is connections are more important than anything. Like, it used to be your Rolodex, but now it's like your phone, your contacts. You know, you can ask any one of us almost anything. We say, you know what? I don't know, but I got a guy.
I got this guy.
I got a guy. And we're going to send you to Steve, or we'll send you over to Jim, or we'll send you to somebody who's going to hook you up. And I found, unfortunately, a lot of people I've talked to, some of them are even now in their 30s and into their 40s. They said their friends don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's like they got it, and they don't like. People told me, no, my friends don't help me out. Like if I need to call Steve, back in the day, and even now, if I get stuck in the middle of the night, I can wake Joe up. But there's friends I could call these guys at any, I've been called at 3 a.m. Like, hey, I'm stuck. Can you come? Yeah, where are you? I'll just give me a minute, and I'll be there. And that was kind of that. We always had that give and take. Always
it was a code. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
mechanics
an unwritten code.
Mechanics
pretty much.
Code. We always had that. Yeah, especially in the shop. If somebody's daughter or whatever smashed up the car, we'd stay late, and the body guy would pull the frame out, and the painter would help. You all chip in, and you get it done for the guy.
Right.
Yeah, we always did that.
You always have each other's back.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
These days, it's just like it's not what you know; it's who you know.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, it was always that way, but a lot of it's up to the individual.
Yeah,
you really got to step up now. You got to make yourself shine out of all the other candidates. It's a lot of competition out there. There's only a handful of jobs.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a lot of competition. So what's going to make you different? Okay, is basically that you're the step up guy. You're the guy who's there. Okay, you're the guy who's there 15 minutes early, and you're the guy who's there 15 minutes after the bell rings.
Right.
Okay, so you got to step up. You got to put some effort into it. And even if you don't get paid, you know, you get paid in contact.
It
comes
back in other ways.
Yes, and the absolutely. Boss recognizes it. Like the boss knows. You know, everybody thinks, the boss, what does he know? He's in the office. No, the bosses see everything.
They know.
They know who's working. Like, you know, like with you, Chris, with cooking, you know, you know, who's prepping, what kind of cooking do you do? Is it
you know Miller's Ale House in Levittown?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's the place I work at.
That's
excellent.
Great.
Okay.
I started off as a cook there, and now I'm an expedite.
Okay. Yeah.
I do both, but I'm trying to look for something different.
Right, right.
Something that's I've worked in chains.
Yeah.
I want to work somewhere that's like maybe like a deli or somewhere or something that's like very like fancy.
Right, right.
Because I like to be like nice with like cuisine. I don't like to go to want to go to school for.
What about the food truck thing? I mean, that's really taken off now. Something
you
can
go
crazy.
Anywhere, you know. Basically, what it is you're in the hospitality business.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not.
We're in the hostility business.
Hospitality. So that could be many ways. You know, years from now, you might be the maitre d' at Windows of the World or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you got to stick with
something. Start someplace. Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to stick with something.
Yeah.
You know? So you find out. You know, for me. It was always cars. So I made my decision when I was 16 years old. This is what I want to do, and I stuck with it for 47 years. You know what I mean? So once you make your decision, you stick with it, okay? And then it'll take you anywhere.
Great place to go.
You know, so hospitality is big. Again, another industry that cannot be outsourced, okay? So, it has to be done here. You know, so it was a great area to you know, set your future on. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so.
What do you think now, Steve, like in the shop environment, you see guys come and go all the time?
All the time. Yeah, basically, like you say, the boss knows all. That boss knows if you're the right stuff by coffee time. Okay, the first day, the Monday that you're hired, by 10 o'clock the coffee truck comes, he knows if you're going to stay or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she knows if you're going to stay or not. You know, that's how fast they size you up. Okay, and so, unfortunately, a lot of candidates really don't understand how to work. And basically, that means you're there at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that means you're at your workstation at 8 o'clock. That doesn't mean you're walking through the door at 8 o'clock. You're at your job, your fender, your door, whatever you're doing, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay? And 5 o'clock means that's when you stop working. You put your wrenches down at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then you clean up and you know, you change or whatever you may do, and then you leave. Okay? So these basic things are what's going to keep you.
Yeah.
You know, and just working neat and cleaning up after yourself. It's a major, major problem that most candidates really don't understand, you know.
And speaking about cleaning up and taking a break, we're going to take a break.
Take care of business.
Right. We're going to do a little reestablishing, take a break here, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, Chris on the board. We're on with Steve, and we will be back with more after this on 90.3 WHBC. Bye. We have a weatherman with us. Chris has a barometric knee.
Right.
They did say there was rain forecast for this morning, which we had.
Right.
And maybe for later today. So.
Is that twinge I just felt in my spine?
That could be.
All of a sudden, I'm just starting to feel like the atmosphere is starting to get to my knee.
Either that or it's that metal rod that's sticking through the chair, Joe. I don't know.
Oh. Well, I should move that over a little bit to the left.
There you go. There you go. So, Steve, since we've talked about all the other subjects in automobilia and teaching and all, let's get right to the one that gets right to the heart.
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going. Now, you yourself have a project car that you've... And, you know, I only bring it up... I don't bring it up to deride you and make fun of you, because that's not what I want to do. There's a teaching lesson here. There is a teachable moment with this. What happens... I mean, when you work on other guys' cars all the time, and then you have your own...
Yeah.
You don't always get to it. You don't get to do it.
Yes, it's a problem.
And, you know, well, I want to address that because, Joe, you know, there's We all talk about that.
We all have our dreams.
Yes. Yeah. Shoemaker holes in your shoes.
Now, it's interesting because you being a body man by trade, when you worked on your car, tell us the story. You did all the
Well, yeah, that's what you said, a story. Every car has a story.
Well, tell us what the car is first so people know.
Yeah, I'll tell you the whole story. And basically, every car has a story, you know, so... Everybody says, I wish I still had that my first car. Well, guess what? I have it. I do have it. It's a 1934 Plymouth, two-door sedan. Okay, and so the story goes is this. Back in high school, all right, basically I took auto body in Bosie's, okay, the Southeast Center, and Mr. Sloan was my my instructor at the time. And there was a fellow in my class that had this 34 Plymouth, okay? And he was looking to sell it. He was looking to sell it because he had his eye on a 55 Chevy, okay? And it was just at the time when that movie Two-Lane Blacktop came out, okay? And then everybody wanted that blacked out 55 Chevy with the chopped out wheel wells. He had an opportunity to buy one, and it was $500.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so he says to me, he goes, "Do you want to buy that 34 for $500? Huh. I need $500 for that 55 Chevy." I said, "Oh, man, yeah, I want that car." You know, so I went to the bank, and I took all my confirmation money. I took all my lawn mowing money. I took all my Newsday money. Mm-hmm. I took all my $500, and I bought that car. Okay, so... I brought it into Bosie's for a class project, you know, and we painted it up. It looked gorgeous, you know, and I went down to Strauss Stores and I bought myself a set of slotted Keystone slotted rims, you know. I thought that car was gorgeous, you know. So basically, long story short, I drove it around high school times and you know, in my early teens and 20s and stuff. And then I decided, you know, I always loved the figure eight cars at Islip. I always loved figure eight. Yeah, you know, and you think back then, you know, when you're watching this as a young kid, my dad would take me over to Islip and watch the figure eights. And this is like the late 60s, okay? So guess what they were driving? They were driving full fended cars.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
These cars were only like 25 and 30 years old, and they have 48s and 30s cars. They weren't that old then. You know, as they are today. But so anyway, so I said, oh, and believe it or not, they were six cylinders. Okay, and they got those GMC sixes to boogie, man.
Yeah,
and they would build them
torque the engines.
Yeah, and they would put quads on them and all kinds of things.
You know? Fenton heads. And
yeah, they made them things run. So I always loved that. So I said, I'm going to make like a figure eight car for the street out of my 34. So I got a Chevy 6 and I started to build it and I started, you know, I took the engine out and this and that. So then again, 10 years goes by, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Car's still in. Now it's 1980. The car's still in a part, you know. Now it's 1990.
Oh,
okay?
Boy, yeah.
From 72 to 1990, it's been in the garage. So I go to the old Westbury car show, and I see all these antique cars there. I said, you know what? I was smart enough to keep all the original parts for that car. I'm going to put it back to original. All right? So I go, and I start the frame-off restoration. Boom. So the first year, got tremendous amount of work done. I rebuilt the engine, the transmission, rear end, rewiring. I had a full rolling chassis, you know, full rolling chassis. Get to the body work, guess what? I stopped dead. So from 1990 all the way up into, what's this, 2019, the car's laying there, complete rolling chassis finished. No body.
Well, there's the thing, Joe.
Because you do it every day.
Steve, being a body guy, had more fun doing the mechanical work on the car.
Right,
And you know, like I said, hey, you're a body man. You can knock it out. And it's like, you know, it's like when you do what you
exactly,
do.
Yeah.
You want to do something else.
Yeah, you get jaded by it. Yeah.
Right.
So it's.
So I've been taking all the pokes and all the ribbings and all that from everybody, every car guy I know, and so now it's time to kind of get to it. So now you got to get started. Okay.
We talked about
and,
that. Yeah.
And now. This is a tip for everyone else. Okay, the first thing you got to do is you got to clean out your garage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because what you're going to find is that car became a storage locker,
mm-hmm.
and you got lawn chairs, and you got bicycles, and you got
pool
boxes
toys,
and everything. There's noodles sticking out of the hood. Yeah, everything. Yeah, you know. So you got to clean it out. So mm-hmm. that's the stage I'm at. And actually, I cleaned out. I said, "Wow, there's a car under there."
Right.
You know. So actually, I got to the car. You know, I cleaned the garage out, and I'm there. I got to the car. It's
okay.
There. It's still there. Right where I left it. Okay.
Yeah.
And
they tend to stay put.
Yes. Yeah, so now I think it's time I'm going to start to do something. You come down to these shows, you see these cars, you get a little enthused about it, and now's the time to start again.
You know, that's the thing. I was just when we had that break, I was talking to a gentleman who was looking at my car, and he has a 65 GTO that he just bought out of Vegas about 5 years ago. And, you know, he was always attracted to him. And this is a restoration. It's black, so it's nice and clean. You know, like mine. And I said, yeah, the thing for me is, you know, driving the car. I said, you get out. It's like, I've always said, 30 years flies right off my head.
Yeah.
As soon as I touch that shifter, it's like, because you're seeing the same nose you saw years ago.
Yes.
You know, everything is the same. You have muscle memory, and it's such a good place to be.
Yes.
And let's face it, we're not getting younger.
Yes.
So to be able to have that involvement with something is really nice.
Bring you back.
And it transcends, because even the family knows. My family knows like how special that car is, and they just by osmosis they kind of feel it, even though they didn't live it like I did. Well, my wife did because she was around, you know, for a long time, but my kids certainly weren't around. But now they sense that, and they equate it to their own, you know, their own life. So they're great. They're time machines. They really are.
Right.
You feel good once you get in there, and you know, especially when the cars today are just so low key.
Uh huh.
You know, I mean, is this thing on? Is this thing on? Yeah, you know, and you don't feel bumps. You don't hear things. You know, you don't smell stuff. You know,
I had told somebody how I'm going through this. You know, Joe, we talked about it driving. You know, I'm still tuning the car and trying to work through a few issues, and they're like, you know, you've been doing that for a year already. Aren't you tired of it? Why don't you? I'm like, no. You know what? It's part of the process.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, I'll show you right now. I don't know if this cord's going to reach. Damn it! That's about the 900th time.
Remember, this is not a visual medium.
I know, but Steve will get a kick out of this. This is great. I can do a remote for my car. I reach into the bag in the back seat, and what's in there? The distributor wrench.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And my timing light, because I've been making timing adjustments, playing with the timing. So you gotta, you know, you have the stuff with you, and you just kind of do it on the fly.
You can't even find that stuff on a newer car.
Yeah. Oh, right. It doesn't exist. You don't adjust timing, right?
Well, then I guess some of us keep a scan tool in the back seat.
So. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was like an old hot rod trick. You would set the basic timing and then take it for a ride.
Right.
And then see if you can tweak it up a little more. You know, see
exactly.
How advanced you can get, you know, until it starts to bottom out. So, you know, that was... that's how you did it. You know,
exactly.
Twist it till it pings, back it off and in.
There you go. Yep. That's it. That's what you
there
did.
There you go. Right.
You know.
Yeah, things are really... You get the as Liz before said, you get the feel of the car.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That you don't get the feel anymore when you drive.
That's true.
You drive modern stuff, you know.
Well, unless you're driving a new Challenger or a Camaro or Mustang.
Even that, I've driven those. You know what I mean? And they're great. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? But you know, there's still a lot of electronics. And, There's a lot of like crash shell around you, all kinds of stuff like that that you don't have in a car like this.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, one of my favorite things was the time that I took my son out in the Camaro, and he hit the brakes because somebody was popping out of the side street. And the car got just a little antsy on him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "What was that?" I go, "No ABS."
No ABS.
You know what I mean? So,
that you just use for the car doing everything for you. No, yeah. Everything is on your head.
We were sitting at the shop yesterday. Mike was detailing the Camaro, the new the 50th anniversary Camaro. I said, you know, Mike, look at the window, the rear quarter window on that Camaro, and look at the window on this car. It's like easily three times the size. I said, one of the things I liked about driving this car again was you can see, it's like being in a Pacer. Yeah. You can see everything. Now, the newer cars, of course, the belt lines came up, the roofs came down, so you got to have a backup camera because you can't. You don't have
blind
the visibility.
Spot is a killer on the cars.
Yeah. But
also in the new Camaros, there's like very limited visibility because the roof is just so much lower and it's more bent.
Exactly.
The big thick pillar there in your way.
Yeah. It was funny. About a year ago, I was helping Mike move cars. So we're at his house. Cars in, cars out. And just so happens, he says to me, we're in the street. He goes, okay, why don't you bring the Camaro in? Like, okay. Love to drive that car. But I realized, like, oh, in my mind, it's like, they usually back this car in. Now, he's got a narrow driveway with cobblestones. Mm. I'm thinking about woofing a tire on that or woofing a rim. I'm like, oh, my God. And then you get to the back and you got to turn by the house. It's like pulling into a Queens driveway.
Right.
But he's got a big expanse in the back, and it has to go into a slot. And I almost punked out. I said, you know what? I'm just going to pull it in. I'm going to be safe and be smart. And then part of me said, wait a minute. I watch these guys move cars all the time. I watch them move flatbeds. They're one-handed. They're zipping around. They're like real professionals. I'm like, I got to rise to the occasion. I can't. I know how to drive a car. I know how to back up. I can't be a wimp. I got to do this. I'm thinking, oh, my God, but if I hit something, I'm dead. I'm doomed. That's it. I'm done. No more credibility. And I said, okay, let me try. So I start backing the car up, and I look. Something caught my eye. As I'm trying to frantically look out, get some line of sight, and that big screen lit up with the camera with the
light. Nice?
And I was like, wow, all I got to do is watch. But I had such a hard time because by instinct I kept looking right and looking left.
Yeah.
And I had to look in the center, and it was kind of an unnerving feeling, but it put that car right in.
When you take a driver's ed test these days, if you're in a car that has a backlight or a camera in the back, they cover it.
Oh,
really?
They do cover it. You have to make sure that when you
know
have
to
behind
drive.
You. I did my road test on my dad's Toyota Tundra.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I had to parallel
not
park that.
Not a small car.
Yeah,
I had
right.
to parallel park that because my mom's Sonata was at work with her. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yikes. Now, I drive a 2005 Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
And all my friends have nice cars with backup cameras, and, like, they're always relying on it. And then when I'm there with me in my car, I'll just, like, do it one-handed, no problem, because I've just become accustomed to it.
Right. There you go. That's it. You have to have the instinct.
Why are the bumpers hanging off that truck?
Got rear-ended.
Why are all four corners dented? Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's cool stuff.
That's great.
See?
All right. Well, that's cool. We are...
That was a nice piece of wisdom there in part of
that. That is. Well, Steve is a wealth of wisdom. I love sitting and talking to him. It's at the shop, it's always hard because his work... You know, yesterday was nice. It was kind of quiet. There was no one else. I walked in and said, wow, it's quiet in here.
Like, yeah, Saturday's my day off.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But, so we're winding down. We're going to be at the last 10 minutes of our show here from Tobey Beach, Motormouth Radio. And you know what, Steve? We're going to ask you to pass the mic over. We're going to put Jim on for a couple minutes and talk with him.
That's our guy in the sky.
We'll be in touch. We'll keep in touch
on
that project.
Thank you, Steve.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, so in case anybody doesn't know, Jim is our... he kind of rides the High Point. He hears the show from outside. He sends me... he sends us via Facebook Messenger and so forth.
Are you sure I'm just not annoying you with that?
There's some important people who've had that job.
Who?
You! Yes, you were my eye in the sky.
Yes, I was the former eye in the sky back in the day. Actually, I kept texting Ray back
then.
Because we didn't have, instant messenger back then.
Right.
So, you having a good time for yourself over there?
I'm having a great time. This is one amazing show.
Yeah, what have you been doing? You've been doing a lot of something. I don't know what, but you got these great... Thank you for these pretzels.
Yes,
these were fantastic.
Yes.
You and your wife.
Welcome.
Godsend.
Oh, I didn't get a pretzel.
And the chair.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we came, and of course we come prepared because...
Want to hook a pretzel?
No, it's fine.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm just messing around.
I know.
No, we were doing some groundwork, and I figured you guys were only going to be on for the hour, so we were set up just for the hour, and then all of a sudden we're going two, and all of a sudden we're going three.
Yeah.
And I get the look from the wife.
Ah, yes, the look.
That's
and it was
good.
Like, okay, I got to do something. I figured, you know what, Joe?
Oh, absolutely.
Joe and Ray are just sitting there, and they're locked down. Let me go get them a couple pretzels.
Now, bless you, my son. Bless you very much. But
you are welcome.
Yeah, you also helped out with the with our fine tent over here.
Yeah, I did what I can.
Which is about to become a parasail.
It usually becomes all hands. You know, before we divert, let me make a mention here. Moving on, sound and security again.
Yes,
Bruce. It's the space next to us here at Tow Bay, and he graciously ran us an extension cord because there was the building over there is where we would have got power from.
You're the man, Bruce.
And they didn't think that you couldn't stretch a cord across the street where all the cars are coming and going. They wanted to move us after we had already set up, which was going to be tough.
That was going to be a comedy skit, right?
So,
there. See the you know, four people like running across with the
yeah,
as the wind trying to lift us into the air. That would have been great.
Mm. Moving on, sound and security is at 636 Hempstead Turnpike in Franklin Square, and there's a 10% off coupon here store wide. If you go down there, mention that you saw them at the Tow Bay Car Show, and they'll take care of you. And I don't know if they have that's the car show. I'll see.
And that the motor mounts didn't scare you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing by itself. They have some cool stuff over there, too. I was looking at their display. Basically, everything in the electronics that you want to add to your car.
That's good. That's good.
I was looking at the rearview mirror thing with the backup camera that pops up right in. That looked great.
Yeah, backup cameras are cool.
Oh, backup cameras are great.
Yeah, if you go to MovinOn, MOVINON.com, that's their website, or info@MovinOn.com is email address, and you can get a hold of them. They'll take care of all your electronic needs. They got a lot of cool stuff over there.
Are you sufficiently jealous about all these nice cars here, Jim?
Oh, absolutely.
What's your show pick?
That is a really good question. I really didn't look around well enough. There was one thing I did find, which goes to us because we both used to be members of the Long Island Supersport team. Somebody actually has a restored 1995 Caprice, something like that. That's Brooklyn Italian. Caprice, NYPD highway car.
Ooh, a highway car.
Yeah, and you and I know.
Yes. Those are no joke.
They're definitely not.
I've been chased by a number of those over my life.
That was pretty cool. And I also, came across, and you know me, I'm looking for the weird stuff. I'm not really, unfortunately, I've been around cars too long that the regular stuff just doesn't impress me anymore.
Right.
But I'm walking around, and Lois happened to pick out a Ferrari Spider, which was definitely a very cool car. I'm walking past it.
Yes.
And realize that there is a 64 Bel Air right next to it. And I'm talking about opposite sides of the same world. And right
seriously.
Here at this show. I mean, that was an amazing thing also. There is some really cool cars here. I was telling you before about, there's the custom car shop down the road here.
Yeah.
They have the 73 Mach 1 with the Coyote motor in it.
Mm, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a tough fit.
That show does some cool... That shop, rather.
That's Paul's Rods and Restos.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you...
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, because Paul's is right in Deer Park, and if they do something, sometimes they'll do a Cars and Coffee or an open house.
Okay.
Last year I was at their open house, and this is one of those shops that does everything. Yeah. They have all the different shops, things like that. And for the open house they have, they let you go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you see everything. You see how they set up everything up. You see the cars they're working on.
How about a
on.
Grand Sport Corvette? I know this guy. It's my buddy Joe.
yeah,
Grand Sport Corvette. He bought that about 8-10 years ago.
That is gorgeous. Jeez.
No joke.
No, definitely not. One of the cool things is you're going to come to a good car show when you go into the spectator lot. And no kidding, cool. There were a dozen late model Corvettes parked all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, of course, Lois is here with her 2003 Monte Carlo SS, which is not what we would consider a classic car, but it's her car. It's her hot rod. She loves it. And she's like, okay, where am I going to park it where no one is going to go near it?
Of course.
So I'm like, wait a minute. There's a 70 Chevelle SS right there parked next to him. He's not going to bump into you. Trust me.
Right. Seriously.
That's very right. True.
You both love those. Yeah, you both love your respective cars. So, hey. And in 20 years or so, that car is going to be a classic on its own.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about this. The Wagon is over 20 years old now. And I'm thinking, this car I have. Wow.
That's true.
Yeah, the Wagon's what, 95?
95.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
That's getting up there. That's more like 25 years old.
25, yeah.
Yeah, we're knocking on the door of classic.
Seriously.
I have Hagerty insurance on my Impala. I've had a classic policy on that car for a number of years already. They actually took that car before it was 20 years old because they realized
it was a limited production car.
They realized its place in automotive history. They said, yeah, that will be a collectible. So I put that car on, I guess it was in the early 2000s.
And on a side note, those cars are going up in value.
That's good, because they really went down for a while.
They did. They dropped down quite a bit.
They all take the curve one way or the other. A lot of different cars, you know, second generation Camaros, right? For a while there, they were worth dirt. Now you can't touch them. You can't touch a rust bucket for less than 30 grand.
Very true.
You know, so it's a matter of you got to just hang in there, wait for the current, wait for the wave.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's funny, we were here before, we're right on the side of one of the access roads that goes to the other parking lot. And I swear earlier it sounded like they called Super Pro to the lanes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I can smell that. Like, oh, I love this.
At any cruise night, you will get the guy running the AV gas and the race gas, yeah. You'll find him.
Love that smell.
Yeah.
Victory.
Oh, yeah.
The smell of victory.
The way I go through it, pump gas is bad enough.
Yeah, seriously.
But I went to the gas station. It was like $40 before. And it didn't even click off. I'm like, okay, we'll stop here. That's enough for now.
Well, cheers. If you use premium in that car, where the premium is almost $4 a gallon, and that's nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I know, filling up the wagon is always taking out a second mortgage.
Burning fossil fuel at an alarming rate. I always say when I start my car, 3 Priuses C's. It's just the balance of nature, you know? It's just
they
the way it goes.
Just, lose it. They just lose their bowels there. You know?
They go, not him again.
That's okay. We like that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and we don't like Priuses.
Yeah, well, they have their place.
Yeah.
Just not in my driveway.
Not right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. There's ways to stay efficient, but you know, maybe not quite as efficient, but you can stay efficient, you know, if you keep your car in good shape, keep it running safely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just real fast. During my quick ground patrol over here, I did run into Bill Carberry and let him know that you guys were here.
Right.
But then he disappeared, and I'm not sure where he
went. It would have been great to get Bill on.
That was an exercise in good taste on his part.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks for that. All right, we're going to wrap. We got to get out of here because we've done 3 hours, Joe.
Yes.
It was a marathon.
I'm cooked.
We'll come back next week. We don't have a guest scheduled for good reason.
Yes.
We got to recap, and we're going to get out of here from Tobey. Chris Schultz on the board, thank you very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
You're welcome on our show anytime you want to come in and do. And next time we do a remote, we're asking for you, and we'll even bring a hokey crap with us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And hopefully it'll work.
Right.
For real. From the start.
The duct tape and the clamps worked well.
Right. Jim, Lois, Steve, all the volunteers that were out here that have gone, thank them. Everybody, we thank Sean for letting
us
do this remote.
Everybody, yep.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio. For Joe, I'm Ray. We'll see you then.
Adios.
We're out of here.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class.